In our previous conversations, we spoke about the matter of creation, which is the desire to receive. The Creator had created existence from absence, but we do not speak about it from the side of the Creator, but from the side of the creature, from the human being, and develops in this world and begins to reveal himself in this world during the history and the development of humanity. After his development, after the development of his desires, when his desires grow, and when he leaves his family, leaves his village, enters the city, the world, and the world begins to be small for him, and he wants more, wants to have more than the world can offer, and he feels he's unable to be satisfied from something in this world, from his occupation in this world, from his work, from his family, from his small life. And this is pushing him towards development. It pushes him to develop. And it happens especially in those days that now we're found to be in such a situation in which we seemingly reached to an ability to realize every given desire in us. And we see that the people who have those abilities, that there's no boundary to their ability in this world, those people are the people who suffer the most and feel the greatest emptiness, and they're completely miserable. And probably that by feeling emptiness in one state, it is pushing us to develop and to move to a higher state, then probably this is the way that when we feel emptiness today, and when humanity feels empty, it is because the forces are working upon us in such a way in order to lead us to develop in a greater degree. Despite the fact that there is an additional difficulty here, if, let's say, we would have developed in the frame of this world, we would have revealed it. Would have revealed the way we need to develop. Let's say that when we were slaves, and then there were wars and upheavals and this era of slavery was changed, and then the industry came, and so, meaning one changes and develops from one situation to the next until he's able to fulfill himself more and becomes free. But a person constantly sees in front of himself the next degree, the next state of his development, of the human development. And there were many people, many great people, many great minds in history, during history, that rose and pulled humanity into many directions, to the good and to the bad, but that's the way we used to develop. But today, that an individual and humanity in general are found to be in this state of search, and this emptiness grows, and it is very difficult to a person to understand what else can he be attracted to. To such an extent that people want to close their wills. Let's say that we won't buy something new. People said that we don't want to buy those new cell phones. We have in Israel, we have the cell phones of the third generation. So people said that they want anything new because those things change so fast like a few hundred years ago in the Mediterranean days, every few tens of years something new came. But now, every year, there's something new. There are many innovations. And today, a person remembers and feels that those things will not add a thing. So why should we innovate? He's fed of the fact that he's being used by his exertion, and his vessel remains empty. He will not receive any pleasure that people want to sell this pleasure and he won't receive anything. He doesn't want to have this development because it will not help him. This is why we have those drugs and depression, and we're fed of this technological development, and that used to, once we thought that it might bring blossoming and freedom and great sensation, the person will be able to move between planets and stars and will be satisfied by those things. But which satisfaction do they speak about? Because today it is clear that even the youth is not attracted to such adventures. So all of this, those are the signs that our development on the surface of this world has realized itself. And we have desires, we have lacks, needs, which we do not understand. And those needs push us to a different development. And how can we reach this different development? Because a person cannot stay in sufferings without moving anywhere, without attaining, without tasting something, without fulfilling himself at least by something. And then, because we need to develop towards a concealed direction which we do not understand and don't feel, but the only few we feel the need, and we don't feel it as the goal, as our goal. That no one from the philosophers and the politicians of today cannot clearly say that he knows what the way the next shape of reality should look like, that the person should look like this, and if we will reach this shape will provide the needs we need and will really give a human being the sensation of freedom and fulfillment and confidence, this good and nice sensation of life regarding the young generation and so on. Meaning each and every individual can speak about many theories, but when those theories will be accepted, but those theories cannot be accepted anymore in the world. And this is a sign that, well, truly we have no solution, we don't have a remedy to our state, we have no direction. And this is completely corresponding the phases of development that we used to go through in here, in this despaired and dark state. Especially in this state, Kabbalists are speaking about the fact that the wisdom of Kabbalah has to develop and has to be revealed in order to show each and every individual who feels an urge, who has an urge to develop, to evolve, to do something with his emptiness, with his life. If one has such a desire, such a need, then the wisdom of Kabbalah begins to show him the true reality in which we are found to be. And this wisdom explains what exists outside this world, and how can one reach this existence, how can one see and exist in the entire reality, except from this world, to feel and to sense the whole reality, the whole of reality, to use it. And if a person is able to use this entire reality, the general reality, then he is really fulfilling himself and is reaching complete and eternal life. Why? Because the need and the desire that is revealed, and the desire that was revealed during previous generations, was the same need for the fulfillment, which can be fulfilled only by knowing the upper world. Because all the fulfillments are coming from there. We're found to be in a very small frame in this world. This world. And we are in this world, let's say each and every one of us has this black spot here. But all the fulfillments come from above, from the upper world. And through this world, they reach us. And all the needs and the lacks we felt during our development, during those thousands of years that we have developed, let's say since 10,000 years ago, and after today, and all the desires, to money, to knowledge, to other pleasures and so on, all those pleasures combined and mixed and intermingled in each and every person, that those fulfillments, we receive those fulfillments from the upper world. We always receive them from the upper world. This is the origin of those fulfillments. But they came through many corporal desires from above. This is the human being. And the pleasure comes to this human being, let's say, for money. So this is why time after time when this pleasure comes and he's clothed in money, then one is not satisfied by having this fulfilling, because this pleasure which is clothed in money comes in a clothing, but the human being wants to enjoy from something without this clothing. He wants to enjoy from the abstract pleasure, from an abstract pleasure. And this is why, as much as he yearns for this clothing, this aspiration is building a bigger frustration inside a person. And initially, after all those pleasures, one comes to a state in which he understands inside his spot in the heart that he does not want to have those fulfillments of honor, and here it is family and knowledge. He understands that he needs the origin itself. He needs the source, meaning the upper world, from where all those fulfillments are coming from. All those covers, those clothings, those external shapes of pleasures which come to us, initially this is the state we come to, this is the state they bring us to. Initially we develop with our understanding, and our perception of life brings us to an understanding, and there's abstract things which are concealed, but as much as they are concealed, they have the greatest information, intensity, and power. And if we will receive them, we'll be able to be fulfilled even more. And this is the way our world begins to prepare us to the state in which we will have a desire for something which is above the matter, above those clothings, and those pleasures that come to us in the shape of money, knowledge, sex, family, and so on. And then instead of it, I want the fulfillment itself. And how can we reach it? According to every law we see in the world, according to all the laws we see in the world, we understand that there's one law. If we want to combine those laws, if we want to connect them to one law, then there is only one law that works. And this law that operates in this law is called the law of equivalence of form. Because every matter is consisted from a desire to receive, which has its own attributes. Then it feels its own attributes, its own qualities. His qualities, he feels good. It feels good if, all in all, his attributes are equal to his surrounding. And this is a state that each and every one of us, each and every particle from nature, yearns for. Is yearning. Let's say gravity. There is something in the air. I leave it, and this object wants to equivalize with his environment, and he does it by falling. What does it mean? he receives, accepts the shape, the state, and the form in which he is balanced in the optimal way with his surrounding. And this is the way each and every one of us. The same thing refers to each and every one of us. Let's say our body. So there are pressures from the outside, the pressure on us, and we equivalize something inside ourselves. Our hearing, our vision, everything we perceive, we can perceive it only in the extent of the equivalence of form. The extent we equivalize our form. Let's say our vessels. Let's say something, I don't know, some kind of an electric stream enters, and there's a pointer here, and there's a coil, and through the and by this coil comes this comes the stream, and it becomes this flow, and this is the way we have an electromagnet, and this pointer is connected to a spring, and again we measure the balance in which this gadget is found to be in. Let's say, I don't know, a radio device, telescope, microscopes, doesn't matter what. Everything we built, it doesn't matter the way it is built or the way we are built, everything is built on one principle, and this principle is the principle of the equivalence of form. Balancing something internal with something external regarding it. Towards it. This is why when a desire for honor is revealed inside a person, then he smells and seeks the place in which he'll be able to develop this desire correctly in order to receive, in order to have fulfillment, and where can he be fulfilled from. So he evolves in his life and reaches many surroundings, environments, books, the studying that might bring him to it. And when he has a desire for money, then he comes to people who speak about it and learn how to make money and so on. And when he has a desire for knowledge, then of course he's attracted to this specific matter and to people and to books, and he hears and so on. When the spot in the heart is awakened, then in an instinctive way, instinctively, and in when his subconscious, I wrote in my book, The Way I Reached Rabash, he doesn't know a thing. It just brings him to a place in which he suddenly hears. Suddenly someone says something to him. Suddenly he sees a book. Suddenly he sees some kind of advertisement in the newspaper. And millions of people see the same advertisement, read those books, or see them, or hear a sentence, and they don't react, but he reacts. He reacts because his spot in the heart, he has a need for it. He has a spot in the heart, he has a need for it. And then there is a response from his BF. What does it mean? That he feels that there will be able to reach this balance. He'll be able to be relaxed, to be fulfilled, to fulfill this need that is now awakened in him. And this is the way he reaches, like that same electric flow, reaches this electric field, this cargo, just like this gadget falls from a considerable height, or piece of a magnet that falls from some kind of a place and takes the best suitable place for it. The same thing refers to the human being. That's the way he finds his right place, his right spot. And this is the meaning of the verse, the Creator brings the human being to the right place. The upper force, the Creator, is the general law of reality. Because nature is Elohim in Gematria. It brings the human being like a, just like it brings a piece of iron to the to a magnet. It brings the human being to a place in which he'll be able to have his fulfillment. And this is the way one comes to a teacher, to the group, and to the books. So we have nothing to be concerned about people which that do not preach, and we shouldn't think about our relatives, because many people come to me and ask me, how can I make my children learn Kabbalah? How can I? Why my husband doesn't want to learn? And this is a very serious claim. And this is a very abundant claim. And when he will have a desire, he will find his place. And when one has no desire, then it is forbidden for us to awaken, because everything has to happen gradually. Otherwise, it is a coercion, and it is against the general law of the spiritual reality. And this law is called, there is no coercion in spirituality. The meaning of those words is just like we see in this development from one generation to the next, that humanity developed by a natural desire that grew in it. And the same thing happens now. When the spot in the heart is awakened inside a person's heart, he has to develop naturally. And this is the way one comes to the right place, to the right environment. And also regarding something more about one's perception. How do we perceive our reality? We already spoke about it in our previous conversation. That all in all, we are just like some kind of a box that has five entries. These are the eyes, our ears, our nose, our mouth, taste, and our hands, the touching or taction. I don't know, let's say our hands. We have our entire body here, and even more, there are inner things here, but it is easier to understand it when I write it like this. So we have our eyes, ears, mouth, nose, and hands. So in all of our senses, we perceive our reality according to the equivalence of form, according to the extent we equivalize our form to it. So with the extent there is a pressure here in my eyes, on my ears, on my hands, on my mouth, but the extent that I balance this pressure, the extent I measure it, just like that same pointer that measures this balance, this is the way I measure everything that comes to me. There is a pressure, and it pressures me, which later enters into me. And when this pressure went through my special kli, my special vessel, which is, let's say, vision. So I feel that this is vision only after it went through my eyes. It's not that on the outside there are waves of vision, but the pressure on my sensor, on my eyes, awakens such a picture in my head of light and darkness. This pressure on a pressure on a different tool, let's say on the nerves, let's say on my nose, will awaken a different response in me. Then instead of the light and the darkness, I will smell things. Instead of seeing colors, I will smell things. That same pressure on a different sensor of mine will awaken different flavors in me, or sensations. And so on. Meaning, I don't know what is in the outside. It is not known. But I imagine this unknown according to my vessels, according to my senses, I'm sorry. And if my senses would have been built differently, I would have seen something completely different, I would have breathed something else, I would have smelled something else, I would have felt completely different. Differently. I might have felt everything outside me as a block of beton, of concrete, without having the ability to move. And that same darkness, the light, I would have felt it as darkness or something completely else. I don't know what. My world consists of what is the sum of all those of those five senses. The sum total of those five senses. Alongside with it, I have my brain, I have my memory, which I also, when I also equivalize whatever I feel and see with what I have in my memory, and accordingly I understand what enters inside me. What just entered, the kinds of impressions, and then accordingly I begin to guess and to understand. And in our childhood, during our previous reincarnations, our memory exists in order to supply this understanding of where we are at and what can we do with it. And all in all, after behind this memory and behind those senses, after everything we feel and receive our information from, then all in all, it comes to some kind of a screen, Bala Sulam tells us, like in a movie theater, which gives us a picture, the picture of the world. The picture of the world. That whatever we see, it seems to us that this is the world, that this picture that we see here, this picture is built from the sum total of this information from which we are, from which we're impressed. If we receive this information and connect it with everything that is inside our reason, our brain, and our memory, it seems to us that this picture is on the outside. And from this unknown, it seems that this unknown is known. But it only seemed to us that this is the way it is. But the thing is that it is completely the opposite. This is why our world, meaning whatever we imagine ourselves, we imagine that it is in front of us. Kabbalists tell us this is called the imaginary world. Those things are known, they're pretty simple, everyone understands it. And this is, do you have questions? Yeah. Yes. Where is the decision of how can I? Sorry, just ended the question. Where is the decision that my senses are no more than sensors that I can change by mechanic or electronic devices? And it is done now by. And they succeed in this. Instead of building in live eye, to build a mechanic eye, it is pretty simple. And to take our nerves and to create wires that will react the same, it is not such a big problem. And those things are external things. And of course that we don't control this technique, but it is only a matter of time. And it is not a restriction from the side of nature that one is unable to do it. So gradually we'll be able to change in our B-style body and to do everything that is needed. There is no problem in it at all. We can build a human being from scratch with all those five sensors, in a way that will be no difference between our artificial ear and our ear, our biological ear. Now we can build, we can artificially build an ear which will be balanced with something on the outside in a bigger range. We'll be able to hear like different creatures and hear different sounds which we do not hear, and see things we do not see, see colors we do not see, And it's not a problem. The problem is to connect the inner picture. You know what I can do? It used to be my profession. I can disconnect my senses. And instead of those senses, I can give an electric signal. And when this signal is given, the one begins to imagine that he sees things, that he visits in places. But I don't give him this place. I don't know what is this place that he imagines. But according to the signal I give him, according to this influence, that from his brain, his memory is beginning to be awakened, many things begin to move, and then alongside with this influence of mine and his memory, he begins to imagine things, he begins to wonder in places, or maybe he begins to imagine something abstract, meaning those senses are, they don't have a connection with the external reality, because we can't even say if this reality exists, because every impression we have is internal. The picture of the external world is only inside us. Afterwards, we'll learn why are we built in this way. The wisdom of Kabbalah will teach us. And why do I learn this lesson? Why do I sit here and learn here like in school? It is only to show us that we're restricted in our perception. So everything we have is only the inner memory and our senses, and we don't know what is outside us. And all in all, there's a question whether there is something outside us. Maybe there's nothing. I don't know. This question itself is a question that has a place. It's a very serious question, because on the outside and on the inside it might be only an illusion. My illusion and nothing more. And if this desire that is called a point in the heart if we wouldn't have had this desire, and this is here, we have a desire to activate our senses. I want to see, I want to hear, I want to smell, I want to understand. Well, I want to understand is the sum total of those desires. In every sense, there are many other observations that our brain adds. What do I want to enjoy from when I see something, when I feel something, when I smell something, the exact assembly that has to be between those things. I look on something nice, and when I imagine something nice, it has to smell this way, it has to look like this, and its texture has to be special, and so on. Meaning, it is my desire that activates those senses. Is a very special desire. It's a very complicated desire. What did I used to enjoy from? I begin to awake this inside of me. I begin to arrange my senses that these senses will seek for the source of pleasure. Where can I enjoy from? But this is the way. This desire refers only to my brain, to my memory, and to my senses. And suddenly, from somewhere, there is another desire, an additional desire. And the name of the desire is the spot in the heart. And this desire begins to be awakened in many people nowadays. And this desire does not activate those senses. Those senses cannot fulfill it. Vis-a-vis, there is no memory or reason. There is no brain or reason and memory. Everything that is related to the spot of the heart is something new. That we just don't have. And it just appears from some kind of a concealed place and begins to confuse us and to disconnect us from our senses. Disconnect us from our memory. We already feel that we don't want it. We're fed of those lives. Of those life. I don't want to enjoy from anything. I don't know what can I enjoy from. I don't know how to activate myself. I'm barely able to finish the day. And this is the way the person feels. Because both my reason, my brain, and the spot on the heart come from a totally new kli. And the name of this kli is neshama, soul. And behind this kli will stand a new masach, a new screen, which will give me a new form of reality. Not like here when I see the picture of this world. It is a totally different mechanism, sided mechanism. And if this desire, if the spot on the heart will be as a sixth sense, as an additional sense, and my brain will develop, my memory will develop, then throughout the system will be able to come to a state in which I will see a new picture. And here we have a question, whether this new picture will also be an imaginary picture up to my senses, and the way I see a picture and imagine that this is the outer world, and it is not an external world. It doesn't. Or the things I will feel in this reality will be something that I can refer to as something external. Or maybe one will be called the external part and the other will be called the internal part. But we'll have to speak about those things in our next conversation. But the development, certainly the development that my nature obliges me to develop, is a totally new development and a new path in towards completely new things, to reveal new horizons. So we'll finish our lesson and we'll continue tomorrow.